Hello and welcome to Straight Talk. I'm Tim Gordon. This week and next are critical as discussions over the future of the Moda Center continue. There are a lot of decision makers involved, Portland City Council, Multnomah County, the state of Oregon, and of course, the Trailblazers. But they aren't the only ones with a stake in the outcome. Supporters of the renovation say businesses, workers, and communities could feel the effects if a deal doesn't get done. And in a worst-case scenario, the Blazers could leave Portland. To make sure those stakeholders have a voice in the conversation, they formed a coalition called We Are Rip City. The group says its goal is to rally support for the project and give businesses, organizations, and community members who don't have a seat at the table a voice in the conversation. And joining us today are two chairs of We Are Rip City. We've got Jim Etzel to my far left here, who's the CEO of Sport Oregon and a leader in Oregon sport economy. And then we've got Mike Thielen, who is a founder and principal of Bolted Consulting and also a co-founder of Feast Portland, which is a great thing. Thank you guys both for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Jim, I'll start with you. You guys are leading a coalition of these small businesses and civic leaders launching We Are Rip City at a time when there is public skepticism. It seems quite high on the Moda Center deal. A lot of Trailblazers fans just not sure about the financials on this. We heard a lot of it at City Council yesterday. What's the biggest misconception do you think people have about the project?
Well, you know, I think it is like if we do nothing, you know, that's not free. You know, we make this investment. We got an incredible commitment from the state of Oregon. And if the county and the city come together and, you know, basically commit to their shares of this, then basically there's a 3-to-1 match on the dollars. Mm-hmm. When I say it's not free, it's like if we choose not to fund a city-owned asset that is the city's own studies is in need of $465 million of repair. And that study was done in 2024 as they were negotiating the short-term lease because they wanted to know what the asset was that they were acquiring. If we don't fund, we likely will lose the Blazers. I can almost say it with certainty. Now the city still owns the building. We lose the state funding, $365 million. And now the entire burden is on Portland taxpayers, you know? And so to me, that's just super real. And you know, there's this narrative that has evolved, like we're funding a billionaire. I understand where people come from out on that, but you know, we have a Moda Center that hosts 170 events a year, 41 of which are Blazer games. Blazers are the primary tenant. We also now have a WNBA team that is just in an incredible updraft and having great success. But the arena standards for a WNBA team are identical to an NBA team. We have a building they're playing in a building that was built 31 years ago for one primary tenant, the Blazers, and there's very little equity in that building from locker rooms and all the support facilities that go on at the event level for women, female athletes, and, you know, that needs to change. To me, you know, let's step into this moment. I'm not even touching on the concerts and everything that we're losing, but we'll get there. So that's what it comes down to me is let's understand what the consequences are and make a really solid business decision for the city and the taxpayer.
Yeah. And I hear you saying the misconception may be that people don't really understand that there is all this work that needs to be done anyway, no matter what.
Right.
And it is going to fall on the public funding to do that.
So, yes.
Mike, the criticism many taxpayers have, it's pretty simple, though. They say, why should the public pay, more than $570 million, or roughly that much, to renovate an arena that's used by a privately owned NBA team whose owner says he doesn't want to contribute any money towards this renovation? What's your answer to that?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing is look at the mechanisms through which the state funds are bonded. You're talking about funds that are bonded against revenues against the team. This is money that wouldn't be available. It's simplistic and incorrect to say we're taking money from one thing and putting it toward another. I would encourage Portlanders and Oregonians to look into how that funding mechanism works, because it's just not the case if you think it's, you know, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. We're making an investment, number one. Number two, it's this bigger than an arena. This is bigger than a team. Let's look at this neighborhood. Talking about the nexus of a neighborhood where there's a lot of things happening. You're not far from the Oregon Convention Center. It's our biggest meeting meeting space in the entire state, one of the largest on the West Coast. You're talking about a hotel that we just invested a lot in, the Hyatt, which isn't far away. You're talking about in the neighborhood, you see ambitious plans from groups like 1803 and Albina Vision. It seems small-minded of us as a city to say our contribution to that is going to be an empty arena. And I would encourage Portlanders and Oregonians to think bigger about this. And also at a time, not a lot of cranes happening. We say we want to build housing. We say we want investment. We're not seeing a lot of that. This is a catalyst. This is what this is. No deal is perfect. I think this is a pretty good deal. Taxpayers in Portland get a 4-to-1 investment on their money. So it's like, you know, I'm a business person. I'll take that all day long. But I think we just need to think this is not about a billionaire. So it's not about one person. This is about us investing in our future and showing that we can get things done. Yep. So I would just encourage everyone to think bigger than how some are currently thinking.
Okay.
I'd like to add too, when this conversation started, Tom Dundon was not approved as an owner.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so when
back to state money was
exactly
before he was officially
before he's done. And so what really the other basis that we're not talking about is what from the MBA. And we hear this term, you know, market rate deal. Mm-hmm. Well, market rate deal isn't what happens in all 30 cities. A market rate deal is in similar sized markets and really is in a basis is in the last 5 to 7 years of deals, because the entire landscape of sports in every sport has dramatically changed, as has the cost of these facilities and everything. If you look at, you know, we did a study ourselves because, you know, as a nonprofit and a sports commission, like I have to be transparent. I have to be trusted to be a resource to win in this state.
Sure.
And so like I look at these things, I've been in this business almost 40 years. I looked at, you know, the deals in Salt Lake City, privately owned arena, having an $800 million publicly, 100% publicly funded, project. They just did a renovation 7 years ago that was, you know, $250 million. So they're two in on this. You got San Antonio, brand new construction.
Yeah.
And, you know, that one's like 70% publicly funded, 30%, which mm-hmm. brand new construction is a different model.
Sure.
Oklahoma City, publicly owned facility, second one in 20 years that they're building, under construction now, 95% publicly funded, 5% from the owner of the team. Then you go to Charlotte, Memphis, markets like that. All these are very comparable in size and climate to Portland. And if it's a publicly owned facility, it's 100%. That's a league almost expectation. So there's 29 other owners that have a say in this. And it's just the realities of our marketplace. We're the 24th, 25th, and we're holding on to that barely right now, mm-hmm. size market in the country.
So you're using those examples. Critics have used examples as well to say, hey, this isn't a good deal. Does it kind of make the point that Portland is its own market and a market rate deal is really about Portland and not other cities?
Every market's its own market, right. In a way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no kind of, you know, apples to apples deal. It's usually, you know, in some cases, some of the comparisons that are being made are a watermelon to grape comparisons. Yeah. Like if you take Los Angeles and Steve Ballmer and the Clippers, he just wanted his own new arena, but he's in Los Angeles, the number two media market
right.
country. His revenue opportunity is like a 25 plus multiple of a market like Portland.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so the whole thing is just looked under from a different lens.
Not a lot of apples to apples. All right. Well, so if taxpayers are going to invest, you know, more than $500 million, what accountability should they expect from the Blazers over the next 20 years?
I mean, I think making a commitment to the city is a big, you know, a pretty great, you know, getting a renovated arena that's not only good for basketball games, not only good for the Blazers, for the Fire, but, you know, having an updated facility for concerts, which we've learned through this. I didn't know this, but a lot of concerts, a lot of performances skip this market because there's not, you know, we're the oldest NBA arena or arena of our type that hasn't been renovated.
Right.
So, you know, we're missing out on a lot of things. You know, I think, you know, not only being, you know, I grew up here. I mean, I grew up, you know, in the era of Clyde Drexler, in the era of Terry Porter, and it was such an important part of our childhood.
Sure.
You know, not only are we giving that, you know, to our kids, you know, we're also, you know, being a world-class city means having world-class amenities. So I think we just need to think beyond this. And also, what's that going to catalyze in the neighborhood at a time when Portland really needs investment and economic development and direction? So
yeah, Moda Center is really the epicenter of something much larger.
Yeah, it's the epicenter. It's the river. You know, there was recently a study that came out that said, you know, our river is our most undervalued asset throughout the entire city, and that there's $300 million in arm's length economic development that could happen. You know, we're also talking about a redevelopment of Waterfront Park. There's groups in town talking about that. So I think we have to think of this more holistically and what our city needs to be. And I think the opportunity cost of doing nothing, as Jim said, not only isn't free, it's also not good.
Yeah.
No, I'll add too that you talk about the river, but like ZGF Architects, it was a handful of years ago, we did a study on placemaking in Portland when they were looking at how they designed the Broadway corridor.
Okay.
Okay. And number one spot in Portland that really spoke emotionally to people, kind of blew everybody away, it was the Moda Center. Mm-hmm. It was like, whoa, because is that placemaking? But it is a place where people come together. If you're going to a rap concert, a country concert, a rodeo, an ice show with other families, or a Blazer game or a Fire game, you're with 20,000 other people that share your love and passion, and you feel like you're amongst, you know, this is a gathering place. It's a place where our community comes together. So I think we have to remind ourselves of, like, you know, this is a divided topic, right?
Yeah.
In our city.
It is.
But it's a divided world we live in. But this is, you know, these things, arts, sports, events, culinary, they all bring, you know, us together. And we kind of remember, like, hey, this is my place.
Yeah,
these are my people.
I get it. In fact, that's, you know, kind of answered the questions I was going to ask about it. You know, this is 41 games for the Blazers. But now we've got the Fire. We've got concerts. We can't get them all in, as you said. Taylor Swift can't get here now. But there's a lot going on with that arena beyond this. So this is more of kind of an investment in the future of Portland's larger economic and social picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great infrastructure creates great opportunity. You know, we have a building that's 31 years old. It's kind of almost oldest in its class, we talked about, that hasn't had a renovation. Most buildings built in the 90s are gone. They've already been torn down. We're fortunate. The Moda Center has, if you talk to the architects, and I've known this for 5 or 10 years, mm-hmm. is that, and they talk about, do you build new or do you renovate? In this case, we have a building, an asset that actually has really good bones that can be renovated.
Yeah. That's good to hear. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done to get it up to where it needs to be. Suppose city leaders reject the deal, or the Blazers reject what the city ends up offering as their final offer. Paint the picture for us. What do you believe happens at that point?
I'll talk to it from an events perspective. We bid for the Women's Final Four in 2019 and 2021. We didn't get it the first time. We became a finalist. We won it in 20. We were awarded it in early 22. Okay. Right now, there's a bid cycle for the next round of Final Fours from 2032 to 2036. We can't bid. Just in that 5 years, our arena has not evolved and it's no longer the standard for the future of a Final Four. So that goes for, you know, if, say, we lost the Blazers and we still have our Fire, I don't know how much longer we would have a Fire, because we would have to get that arena to that standard that we're trying to do right now for this. But you can't bid on All-Star Games. You can't bid on U.S. Figure Skating Championships or any high-quality national, international event caliber. Then on the concert side, the same thing. You know, right now for a lot of the concerts, the Moda Center has to bring in generators. I mean, there's just a story on KGW
sure.
a few days ago about this. Just like, no one knows that, but that is the building is not operationally functional for so many events.
Yeah.
And so that's where we have to go. So you're going to see a decline and a slow, there's not 41 new events to bring into the Moda Center in the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
Just, it's not out there,
yeah.
Especially if it's a declining arena.
How about you, Mike? What would happen if this thing all fell apart?
You know, I've worked in the culinary space for years. So, you know, one of the things that I did for this coalition, I reached out, we got about 50 independent restaurants signed on to this, you know, being a part of We Are Rip City. When you talk to a lot of them, that's, you know, Blazer games are not only their busiest night of the year for a lot of these restaurants and bars. I think we have to broaden and think about our reputation, you know, nationally and globally, and, you know, our identity locally. You know, our reputation globally is rooted in our sports teams. The Blazers, you know, NBA is one of the greatest brands in the world. Everybody knows it. You know, last year I was in Bangkok and I ran into a porter who basically, he knew Portland because he Yong Hon Sen had gotten drafted and he was like a huge, you know, so that's big, you know. There are people who spent, Jim and others at Travel Portland, Travel Oregon, all of the hotels, all the restaurants, we rely on tourism. That's directly connected to our global reputation and how people think and feel about us globally. And that's huge. That is the difference between a successful restaurant and bar or music venue or a retail space and one that struggles. So I think we need to think about this more broadly. You know, the Blazers activate 41 games a year. The Fire, you have all these concerts.
Yeah.
This is huge. And, you know, the drop-off that I think we'll feel, you know, directly related to events, huge. But just the reputational drop-off. I mean, Portland's had reputational challenges. That's not a secret.
Sure.
Imagine the headlines. Globally, Portland loses its NBA team. That's not the reputation we need right now. There are too many people working too hard right now, doing great work for the city, for us to let that happen.
Right. And at the very base, there's a whole bunch of fans that would be miserable too.
Yeah.
We miss this moment. We don't get it back. We will not get another Major League sports team.
You guys make a good case. But however, there are critics like Idan Krolowitz argue that taxpayers are not getting enough in return. Take a listen to this.
So typically what we see in other publicly owned arenas that have done renovations, not full-on builds, but just a renovation, you see anywhere between 18 to 62% private capital contribution. That's not including rent and revenue shares and other pilot taxes and other things that happen. So I would love to see some contribution that exists in there. And if for some reason that's not possible, then there are other levers like the rent and revenue sharing that could, over the course of 20 years, return some reasonable value back to the public.
So there's Idan. What's the strongest argument that he makes, and where do you think he's got it all wrong?
He has a broad market study that is, there's half the cities in that are not comparable to Portland in size or business climate, not just business climate, number of businesses located here, you know, that can support all the things that are in these buildings to make these teams viable. And they also goes back a long ways. The market is really the last 5 or 6 years, and the market is, I would call it cities that are, you know, let's call it 18 in market size up to 40 in market size. That's our comp set.
Yeah.
It's not LA, it's not New York, it's not Chicago, it's not Miami, it's not Dallas. It's our reality is our reality.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to add to that, you know, I it's interesting. I ran a food festival called Feast, which we ended in the pandemic, you know, for years. And at the same time, actually up until about a month ago when we sold it, I had a festival in Austin, Texas called Hot Luck. Similar size festivals, different markets. Now, Austin and Portland are almost identical in terms of population and size. It takes me 80 transactions to get to $1 million in sponsorship in Portland. It takes me 25 in Austin. That's the difference. And people who are saying this, they don't understand the business climate. They may well have good intentions, but like, with all due respect to that gentleman, he's never sold a sponsorship in Austin and Portland. Like, it's different. When we hear about the challenges with our teams currently and just selling sponsorships or even our event community, especially since COVID, you know, we've had a harder time sustaining this community. And I think we have to look at the economic reality. We don't have as many big companies. That helps us in a lot of ways in that we have this interesting, fun, independent spirit, but it makes it harder for us to keep and retain bigger things. So we need to use the toolkits we have in Portland with the reality for Portland, not compare ourselves to Los Angeles or Vegas or places that are not us. So that's what I would have to say to that.
We've always been that scrappy place, you know, in going back to, you know, we had a huge upset when we won the Blazers in 1970. Harry Glickman, like, you know, he was dreaming big, and I'm not sure how we got it. It was a different league and different era then, but it's still like shock the world type deal. But you look at even our, we're the global leader in the sports product industry, right? Biggest density of companies and market share in the world. It's crazy. But that was generation after generation saying that our market size didn't matter. We just are going to compete and position ourselves to be world class. And this is a very similar situation.
Yep. A couple minutes left. I just want to ask you, where do you think things stand right now? The city council had a lot of public testimony yesterday. We're taping this Thursday morning. County commissioners are talking about it today. Where do things stand right now?
I mean, I think one of the things that's interesting is when you're talking one-on-one, we make a lot of generalizations about the political climate right now and who's in what camp. The thing that I've found is there's a lot of really smart people who from all camps who I think are thinking about this in the right way. And I think we have good leaders. I think that, you know, I've been really impressed with a lot of people with what they've said.
Mm-hmm.
I think with, you know, so I think a lot of folks are on the right side of this. What I will say is, like, you know, it is an election cycle right now. And I do think that, you know, there are people who in the planning community who still talk about the parking plan at the Moda Center as being like the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Like 40 years later, I don't want to be on the other side of making something that has an impact that is infinitely massive. I just don't think people are understanding, like, if we don't get this right, I don't think this is something people are going to forget.
Yeah. Is there anything that could happen in these negotiations to have you guys say, withdraw your support?
I don't see it. I mean, if the county commission today, you know, votes to move this thing forward, and then that triggers them in a negotiation with the city on what they call an IGA, intergovernment agreement. And then if the city council were to positively move this forward next Wednesday, then it goes to this joint authority, which the Senate bill completely outlines. And you're going to, then the negotiation goes to professional negotiators, basically. Yep. And it's, you know, it'll kind of take, I don't want to say the politics out of it, but, you know, we're going to get updates about every 30 days from that. It's declared in the bill. And they're going to sit down with the Blazers and the league and hammer this thing out. And at the end of the day, it still comes back for the blessing from our local electeds.
Yep.
So, you know, I just say, let's get into the negotiation room, which, you know, that's what this is all culminating towards. None of this is a negotiation right now. Mm-hmm. The term sheets are like our wish list as a community into that negotiating room, and all negotiations are give and take. And then let's just trust that, you know, in that room, we're going to get something that works for everybody.
Okay. We're out of time, but I'm going to ask you each to give us one statement to convince a skeptic that this is the right way to go and we need to do it. One statement, one thought.
The cost of doing this is too great not to. The opportunity cost is too great.
Yeah, Jim?
Yeah, the burden on the community is far greater without the Blazers than it is with it.
Mike Thielen, Jim Etzel, thanks so much for being with us on Straight Talk. Appreciate your perspectives.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, the people who know the Moda Center better than anyone, the workers behind the scenes, explain why they believe the arena can't wait for renovations. Stay with us. Welcome back. Well, for the first time, we're hearing from the people who keep Moda Center running behind the scenes as local leaders weigh its future. For more than three decades, they built the stages, hung the lights, and helped bring some of the biggest names in entertainment to Portland. They say Moda Center isn't just an arena, it's their livelihood. Blair Best has a story.
For stagehand Mick Boyd,
I'm the first one in the morning and the last one to leave at night.
The Moda Center is a second home.
I've been here since day one when the key went in the door. 31 years ago.
Welcome everybody to the new Rose Garden, and I guess we're going to be playing tour guides.
Mick is the lead entertainment electrician now.
I've been here, I've supported my family with my job here.
He and the crew.
Our jobs get more difficult every day because systems break down.
Watch the Moda Center age in real time.
We don't know sometimes if the escalators and the elevators are going to go up and down.
For example, the locker rooms here are fundamentally outdated.
Somebody was actually thinking shower heads for big guys. I mean, Dudley would have to move this if I were to shower here.
We don't have the infrastructure with the power needs of many shows, and we are bringing in equipment from outside at a heavy expense in order to make the show work.
The debate over the future of the arena and the Portland Trailblazers is playing out in boardrooms across the city.
There's a lot about basketball, but there's so much more.
As local leaders decide whether to invest hundreds of millions of public dollars into renovating the arena, these stagehands say the conversation shouldn't just be about the project cost, but about the people whose livelihoods are connected to it.
We live here, we spend our money here, we pay our taxes here, and I think they're missing that.
Up to 1,000 union stagehands work at the Moda Center each year.
We already have concerts that are skipping Portland because we don't have the resources to put on their show.
Artists like Taylor Swift.
Hey, Taylor Swift, we miss you in Portland. Please help us support the Moda Center because we'd love to see you back here.
This is one of the keystones of our industry in the state. And if we let it become a place that is no longer practical for people to come, that hurts everybody.
Our thanks to Blair Best for that. And as we continue to track this story, we want to hear from you. You can text questions to the number on your screen right now. It's 503-226-5088. And we will do our best to find answers and clarity for you. You can also text the words Moda Center to that same number, 503-226-5088, and we'll send you back a link to all of our coverage. All right, thanks so much for joining us today. A reminder, you can stream Straight Talk on your own schedule. Download the free TV app, KKW Plus. Available now on Roku, Apple TV, and Fire TV. We'll see you back here next week.